Welcome to Chat to Chill. My name is Sean and I'm here to chat. It is so amazing to be back. And guess who I brought back? I brought my brother Elijah. Say hello, Elijah.
Yo, what's up, guys?
Yo, what's up? So kind of bringing back all the memory. Elijah and I, we podcast and together we always talk about WWE and all the upcoming events. The next event is Royal Rumble. Like, that's crazy. We in the new year 2024 and the new Royal Rumble is approaching fast. I am so excited for the Royal Rumble. How are you feeling about the Royal Rumble?
I'm anticipating it. Got a lot of returns. We got a lot of great. There's a lot of great options to win the Royal Rumble, and it's kind of hard thinking about and trying to visualize. Okay, who would be the best guy or gal? Well, best guy and gal because they both have their individual Royal Rumbles to continue, like, the respective storylines. There's so many options they have, so it's I'm excited to see it.
Especially like just watching SmackDown, like just watching Raw SmackDown for the first 2 weeks of 2024. Like, I feel like every Friday night SmackDown and Raw has definitely been on point. Like, they just never missed storyline wise, match wise, they never missed. Like, everything like is just like great so far. I feel like that everything is going, like I said, to the Royal Rumble to WrestleMania, and I feel like everything is just happening at one time. You know, we got CM Punk, he returns back in November at the at Survivor Series. We also had Randy Orton return back in November, and for real, I really thought that what you call it, I thought that Randy Orton wasn't going to return and that they was gonna have CM Punk instead of Randy Orton. But the way that they was able to do it for both of them, with Randy Orton returning and CM Punk, I think that was amazing. Is that, I mean, like, what are your feelings about, you know, CM Punk and Randy Orton and how they have returned?
I think it was perfect because you could kind of see that. Well, I'd be on Twitter slash X. I'm in a few wrestling Facebook groups. So you can see like the anticipation of, will they get CM Punk? He just got fired from AEW. Are they able to reach a deal? Do they still have bad blood? So it was like, okay, there was a lot of uncertainty there. Will he be the fifth member of that War Games team? And then WWE was like, nah, Randy Orton, relax. Randall is coming back.
Yes, I
So,
would. Oh, go ahead. No, no,
oh,
no. No, I was
and
not gonna
then,
say, like, I was so excited. Just the fact that, like, you were saying, like, yay, Randy
right,
Orton coming
like
back.
he been out about a year and a half. We finally see
Yes.
him. The RKO out of nowhere. He's like, okay, well, if it's just Randy Orton, that's still pretty good. And then it was like, okay, he's not here yet. He's not coming out in the entrances with everybody. All right, let's see what happens. Then finally, he comes back, yoked. WWF is back, baby. Okay. Man's just looking solid, looking like 2008 Batista. I'm like, oh, snap. All right. Cool. And then I saw on Twitter someone said that they should have CM Punk just come out at the end of the event and just put on for the city. And they did that and it worked perfectly.
It did.
It was beautiful. They even got us with the fake caption at the end where it's like, okay, show's over. It showed him trademark.
It was
Yeah,
just like that. That's how it was. It was just like
that
that.
cult of personality came in playing. I was like, nah,
That's
y'all playing with
crazy.
me.
That's what.
Titantron, beautiful.
That is so, yo, I'm telling you. So, like, I don't know about to attack me. I know a lot of people are going to say something about this, but I actually did not know who CM Punk was before he came to WWE. And the reason why I didn't know, the reason why I didn't know who he was is because, like, I heard his song. I know he was married to AJ Lee. I've just never watched his match. So, like, I knew about him, but I've never seen a match. of him fighting, and I have yet to see a match of him fighting because I feel like I'm so like busy, and I feel like I want to watch a match so bad, but it's like, well, nah, I gotta wait, you know, to watch the match. So hopefully in the near future, before the Royal Rumble happens, I get to see CM Punk in action. I think I may watch CM Punk versus The Rock. I think that can be on YouTube, so I'm gonna watch that. But like I said, like with CM Punk, it's like I knew about his AEW run, so I knew that, you know, he had, you know, some difficulties with being in AEW and how he had like different like things going on, you know, in the company that he was in, and how they wanted to have an extra show, a Saturday show called AEW Collision, and well, you know, Collision. And they wanted to have CM Punk be a part of that main show since he was having beef with the other, you know, the other wrestlers. Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
No, I was saying he was having beef with the Elite.
Oh, the Elite? Okay. Yeah, because I started watching AEW too. I still got a lot of recorders I have to watch of AEW. But one thing I can say, I was really impressed because, like, you know, you're so used to like one brand and one company. That, you know, you're so stuck on, like, okay, well, if I just watch WWE, I'll be satisfied. But then it comes to a point where you love WWE, but then you feel as though, like, you're watching the same thing over and over and over again. And you need something different. So, like I said, after watching AEW for the first time, I didn't watch the last match, but I did watch, what'd you call it? I think it was the first Wednesday of the new year I watched AEW. And when I tell you the match was hard-hitting, I'm saying it was hard-hitting. Like, the stuff that you would see in WWE is way different than AEW because their fighting is, how can I say it? WWE is more storyline-based. The stories, the character-based. AEW, on the other hand, is more match-based. So those wrestlers are, it's like indie wrestling on the main scene, like on the main TV, and I love that.
Yeah, where AEW, despite I guess whatever controversy Tony Khan always finds himself in on social media or any of the backstage stuff.
Yeah,
one thing they'll do, they'll put on fantastic matches.
Yes,
you'll wonder where the women are. They're probably in a 15 women tag team match.
Yeah.
But aside from that, when it gets to the wrestling,
it's
just, all Elite.
It's bad. It's bad. Yeah. So the thing about it is with women superstars and AEW, like, I didn't know it was kind of shaky, but I found out it was kind of shaky. I know with WWE, Triple H, he is definitely trying to, you know, help the women's division. Especially like Jade Cargill has not officially debuted yet. What I can see happening, I saw this on like YouTube or something, and they were saying how Jade Cargill can debut at the Royal Rumble and win the whole thing. And I was kind of like, I would be happy, but at the same time, I would feel as though like it was like someone like being robbed. It was like how Ronda Rousey won the 2022 Women's Royal Rumble. And it was just like she came back and then she just won the whole thing. But with Jade Cargill, it's like, I'm happy because she is a new face. So we've never seen her in action. We don't know what her character is. We don't know what her gimmick is. We don't know anything about Jade Cargill until she debuts in the ring. So my feelings about her debuting at the Royal Rumble and winning it would be like, okay, I'll be okay. But at the same time, I would be concerned because like we don't know who she is. So I mean, how you feel?
I think if she does debut at the Royal Rumble, I very much doubt she'd win it.
Okay.
Because that would be, as you said, her first outing in WWE. Mm-hmm. I think it should be more of an introduction to her. Now, I think she can get like maybe like 10, 15 minutes in the Royal Rumble and then maybe unceremoniously get eliminated. Maybe like, oh, she's putting someone over, someone flip her over, two eliminations, and it's just like, well, you just got to watch it back. It's not like she just come in there and get tossed out in 3 seconds. Yeah. But it'll definitely be a great introduction to her, especially to audiences who don't really watch AEW. Mm-hmm. Just seeing her on NXT when Triple H was giving the tour of her, mm-hmm. and seeing what she really has as far as potential. She's been mm-hmm. training in the dungeon with Natalya and mm-hmm. Tyson Kidd. So she's been putting in the work. That's why we haven't seen her. But I think I'm looking forward to it. Whenever she debuts, whether mm-hmm. it's Royal Rumble or a later date, I think it'll be worthwhile.
Okay. All right. Because I know with Jade Cargill, I know there were rumors about Mercedes Moné, also known as Sasha Banks, Trinity, AJ Lee. Like, they was all returning to WWE. I feel as though that it can happen, but it has to be some type of, like, I don't know. Like, it has to work for the Royal Rumble, because it's like, one thing I dislike about the Royal Rumble is how WWE always have to advertise it and always having people introduce, like, say, I'm going into the Royal Rumble. Like, that bothers me so much, because where is the surprise element? That if you keep telling people, I want to be, you know, in the Royal Rumble, I want to be in the Royal Rumble, then it's like, well, I'm not, you know what I'm saying? Like, I want to feel surprised. Like, I don't want to go expecting, be like, oh, okay, now I know Becky Lynch or Shinsuke Nakamura's in it. I want to be like, oh, Becky, what? Like, you know, like, even though that I know that she is, like, I know she's definitely going to be in the Royal Rumble, it's mm-hmm. the surprise part. Like, when her number hit, be like, oh, my goodness. You know what I'm saying? It's like, more like that, they'd be like, oh. Now she comes out like, oh, now it's Becky. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, I agree and disagree.
Okay.
Like, I see what you're saying, but I feel like it's no harm if people who are obviously going to be in a Royal Rumble announce they're going to be in a Royal Rumble. Okay. It's not like they're like, okay, these 30 wrestlers are about to be in the Royal Rumble. Mm-hmm. Go about your day. Because mm-hmm. back in the day, you announced you were in the Royal Rumble, mm-hmm. and sometimes you would have a match to see which what your entrant number was. Like, mm-hmm. back in, like, 05, I remember that vividly. Mm-hmm. Like, you would go, you'd be like, okay, I'm going for the Royal Rumble. And they would spin the little
ball,
John. You go in there and grab your number.
Yeah.
And then if there was a conflict, or say you wanted to change it, you'd be like, all right, I challenge this guy. He has entrant number 18. I'm entrant number 4. Mm-hmm. If I beat him, we get to swap and then mm-hmm. go to Eric Bischoff or Teddy Long or something. So I don't think, as long as they don't, like I said, give a whole list of, oh, these 30 men are going to be in there, these 30 women, don't look for no surprises. Mm-hmm. It's going to be what's going to be. If they're just like, if it's Bianca Belair or like The Miz or mm-hmm. Cody Rhodes saying, I'm going to be in a Rumble, cool. Because obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true.
And it's not like they're going to have 29 other people saying, I'm in the Rumble, I'm in the Rumble, I'm in the Rumble. Yeah. It's just going to be like the main people who you think will be in there, who they have like major storylines, so they kind of want to, hey, this person might win. Mm-hmm. Look out for them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I can see both sides, because you're like, all right, it kind of takes away some of the surprise element. Mm-hmm. Especially... Yeah. And I can think of a time where they did that, like 2014, when they announced Batista was coming back. I'm like, y'all could have, he could have,
yeah, for they real, just been waited.
A surprise entrant. Nobody was anticipating anything.
Yes.
And then it's like, you hear, yeah. Everybody be surprised.
Yep.
They fudged that whole thing up anyway. But
it did.
To return back to our original topic, yeah. It won't kill anybody.
Yes, now. It won't. It's so funny that you say that, because I thought about the Women's Royal Rumble in 2022 and how they announced the Bella Twins. They announced Mickie James. I think they announced some other folks in the 2022 Women's Royal Rumble. And when I saw that, I was like, are you kidding me?
Right.
Are you kidding me? Like, you had all this time. You couldn't just wait until the day of. But I think at the time, you know, Mr. McMahon, he was, you know, taking over at the time. But now we're in a new time with Triple H. And I feel as though, like, this Royal Rumble is highly anticipated, because a lot of stuff happened in the last year. I feel like we have people like Trinity and Mercedes Moné coming back. Like, I definitely, because I know, like, so I feel as though that Mercedes and Trinity situation is similar to a CM Punk situation, because CM Punk, remember, they was saying, oh, CM Punk signed with WWE, right?
Right.
But he didn't sign until he like the night of his return. So what he did was he waited and he tried to act like, oh, no, we're not having no talks. No, we're not having no conversations. Then when the return happened, it was more like, wow, like, really? You know what I'm saying? So yeah. It was more like, I feel like Mercedes and Trinity return is going to be more like, of a, okay, we're not having no talk with WWE, because people saying she's going to AEW, but I just don't see that. Like, I just see more WWE is like, because she have, like, if y'all know, like, I normally go on Mercedes Moné Instagram page, and she was like dropping little bits of like hints and teasers of like, happy, happy holidays. Like, you saw Triple H, and then you had other stuff. She was in Boston, and like, all this stuff happened, and I feel as though, like, you know, it's more so of her returning, but she's trying to hide it. You know, like how CM Punk did. So, like, I mean, what do you think about Trinity's Trinity and Mercedes Moné? And what do you think about AJ Lee, her return? What do you think about all of them?
I think definitely AJ Lee and Trinity, they're more likely to return.
Okay.
Than Sasha Banks. I only say that because... what CM Punk, AJ Lee, they're married. Maybe they bring in AJ for a small little program, pop up at the Royal Rumble. She's been in ring shape because she's been training for, was it? She was on the show Heels, like doing some in-ring work. They saw in the behind the scenes. She could still go, even if it is for like 5 or so minutes in the Royal Rumble. Trinity, she's an Impact, well, yes. TNA now. Yes. Doing phenomenal as a TNA women knockout champion. And I guess whenever she's like, okay,
I'm ready.
Good. Yeah. Triple H is going to have her back with open arms. Because I don't feel like there was any beef there. It was mostly Vince McMahon being Vince.
Oh, yeah. That's crazy to say that, because I feel as though, like, with Trinity, she has so much to her. Like, right. When she was in WWE, like, they definitely dragged her, like, for sure. But when I saw her on Impact one match, I think it was close to her debut, I believe. And it was, like, it wasn't with Deonna Purrazzo. It was somebody else. I don't know what their name is. But when I saw her match, I was like, yo, she is so... talented. Like, you know how, like, I knew for sure that Trinity was so talented, but the thing about it is, like, it made me start doubting, because first of all, WWE, they was not treating her right, and like at all the tightest opportunities was not given to her, especially when I'm not sure if you remember Naomi beat Bayley, right? Remember in 2020, I'm gonna go back since 2020, I know people that don't like to go back to 2020 because of, you know, the pandemic and stuff. But I vividly remember Naomi pinned Bayley at on a Friday Night SmackDown to determine whether if Bayley or Sasha Banks will fight Asuka first at SummerSlam on the same night. So she pinned Bayley, right? Why didn't she get the title opportunity afterwards? It took way too long. Because by the time Bayley lost the title, the next championship opportunity that she did get was against Charlotte Flair. And she got wrapped out of that one because Sonya Deville at the time was the manager.
She was GM and she was doing
I was so obsessed. That's with the Royal Rumble of 2022. And she just, like, dragged it. I'm like, yo. So hopefully, like, I feel like if Trinity wins, like, if Trinity returns, I feel like she has to win because... she has done so much in that company. Like, she has a big name in that company. Even though, like, people don't put her on, like, a high pedestal, or, like, she's not recognized for a lot of stuff that she does, I feel as though, like, she should definitely win the Royal Rumble. Now, I'm not sure who you think will win the Royal Rumble, but I think for me, if Trinity does return, I think she's going to win the Royal Rumble to get an opportunity because, like I said, she is so talented and she can definitely beat, Io Sky, or I'm not sure about Rhea Ripley, but because Rhea Ripley, she kind of dominant. She kind of dominant. Like I said, like, I don't want to underestimate her, but I'm just saying, like, I think it's going to be more, it's going to be more likely Io Sky than Rhea Ripley. Yeah, so I mean, what are your feelings on like on who you think is going to win the Women's Royal Rumble, and just who you think will win, who you think is going to return, like all that stuff, just give me your whole opinion.
Yeah, so for the Women's Royal Rumble, I can see AJ popping up. I can see possibly Naomi popping up if there's some kind of deal with TNA and WWE, or if she drops the title soon and she just comes over to WWE. Maybe a few legacy people. Maybe Trish pops back up. She's been out for a little bit. I don't want to see Lita. She looks like she should stay retired. No offense to Lita.
Yeah. She's
done lots of in-ring work, but when she was tag team champs with Becky, I was like, all right, Becky, she's doing the lifting here. She's a Darby Allin to this Sting.
Yeah, especially with the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
That batch, I was like, whoa, that was kind of, like, I saw some stuff, and like that made me go like, I was like, whoa. Right, be careful now.
All right, now. Yeah, probably. We'll definitely see some NXT call-ups.
Okay.
Even if they don't debut on the main roster, they have a lot of great women on NXT.
Yes.
Like, phenomenal.
Yeah, Cora Jade, Roxanne Perez.
Yeah.
You have Nikita Lyons. You have
see some Lola Vice.
You have what's the NXT? You know, they're probably not gonna give the NXT Women's Champion. You know what I'm trying to say? What's her name? Can't think of her name. The NXT Women's Champion. What is her name?
Yeah, I'm like, oh yeah, Valkyrie. No,
Valkyria.
That's the name. I'm so close. Somebody else.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Valkyria. So with that is I can see her making an appearance, but I don't think she's going to debut on the main roster yet. But Carmelo Hayes, he's definitely on. You know, he debuted. So,
yeah.
And
my girl Tiffany Stratton.
Oh yeah,
best moonsault in the game right now.
Yeah.
Winning. I can see them maybe doing Bayley. Yeah, and trying to see who would be like a very reputable winner that could face Rhea Ripley.
Liv Morgan?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay, I can get behind Liv maybe winning. She was last year.
Three. I think it was last four.
Yeah, she was in the final four, you're right.
Final four. Also, I can see Shayna Baszler too. Because sure. First of all, let me just say she is a dominant force when it comes to being in a WWE ring. Now, I know a lot of times that, you know, WWE don't, you know, they kind of just not say put you to the side to say, but she is dominant. And especially last year, she was the last two with Rhea Ripley. And you can tell, especially with Charlotte, she was there twice with Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley. She was the final two. So if she wins, I think she's going to win, but at the same time, people saying Becky, I feel like Becky shouldn't win because she already won in 2019. She already won in 2019, so I don't think that, you know, that should work out. But
it should definitely be somebody who hasn't won.
Won it yet.
There's only been 4 years of the Women's Royal Rumble. I don't think they should have any repeats yet. 4 or 5.
Yeah. I think it's five. That's crazy. Wait, no. Because
then they started in 2019?
No, they started in 2018, so it's been 6 years. I think it's 2018. They started in 2018. Because I remember Sasha and Becky started, they was first number one and number two in the 2018 Royal Rumble. So it's been six years? Wow, that's crazy.
This is, yeah. So they should definitely go with a different person.
Yeah. So, because we, like I said, so we got Liv Morgan, AJ Lee, Shayna Baszler, and who else do you think could possibly win? Even also said Trinity too. That is another one. So that's four. So go ahead. Right. Mm-hmm. So what's another one?
It, honestly, outside of them, anybody else would be kind of like a surprise or like a, okay, we're gonna do an organic build, not just come off of a prior storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think, maybe. And this is a big maybe Tiffany Stratton.
Okay.
She's been killing it. And she's very much like, I think she's main roster ready. So if they wanted to pull that trigger and just be like, hey, Sean, my bad, but she's coming over here with the big dogs.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that too.
Okay. You know, it's so funny because I feel like last year's Royal Rumble, the 2023 Royal Rumble, it was kind of obvious that Cody Rhodes was going to win. And Rhea Ripley was going to win because Rhea Ripley, she was a dominant force. So a lot of people were saying Rhea Ripley was going to win. Not win. She was going to win. And Cody Rhodes was going to win. And I think with Cody Rhodes returned, like, third number. I think his number was number 30. So I think that it was kind of more, it was, how can I say? I don't want to say it was lackluster. But at the same time, it was like, oh, he could have came in at 20.
It was
then I would be okay with that. Yeah, that's the way I'm trying to think about. Yeah, it was predictable. With Rhea Ripley, she was at number one.
Right.
So that was just like, oh my goodness. Like, she came all the way from the first one to, you know, the last one to win. And I feel like, for those who don't know, I definitely do play WWE 2K23. And I try to play number one, and sometimes it be glitching, so I don't be winning.
The newer games pass, like, maybe 20, was it? Maybe 2K11. Mm-hmm. Not 2K11. SVR 2011. Okay. Any games beyond that, it's so easy to get eliminated in the Royal Rumble. It's ridiculous. Before, you had a meter, or you had to press buttons. Now it's just like, okay, well, if you're in the right position, you go over the rope. Like, it's real life. I don't want that much simulation.
I don't want that. No. But I think I did. I was playing as Zoe Stark, and I came at number one. And I think Nikki A.S.H. was number two. But I kept getting eliminated by Indy Hartwell, so I had to redo it again. I'm like, oh, my goodness. But so going to another topic now. Like, we all talk about the women's division, but let's go to something that's more interesting. The Rock, Cody Rhodes, like, this right here is huge. The Rock is huge. Roman Reigns is huge. When he first said, you know, when he first said at the beginning that he wanted to sit at the head of the table, I was like, okay, yep, that's it. We get Roman Reigns versus The Rock. Yeah, we definitely are getting that. And at the same time, the first thing I thought about was Cody Rhodes. Right. Now, I'm like, so you have this Rock, you have The Rock coming back. We wanted this match for so long, like years at this point. Since, I believe, 2022, we wanted it for so long at this point. I feel like now it's finally happening. We just, I think we got news that, you know, that they didn't want to have, The Rock. What'd you call it? They didn't want to have The Rock versus Roman Reigns at Elimination Chamber. Right. That's what I'm trying to say. They don't want to have that there. They want to have it at WrestleMania. But at the same time, they're saying, like, I heard people saying, like, The Rock is going to finish Cody's story. But at the same time, I feel as though, like, that's unfair because Cody is a hard worker. Right. And he has been there way longer than a returning Rock. So The Rock just came back, I think, the first Monday of the new year. Yep, the first Monday of the new year. So I believe, well, January 1st, I believe that they should have something for Cody. And that if they ever decide to do something about it, mm-hmm. I think that the best way to go about everything is splitting the titles. Giving one to Rock, giving one to Cody. And the reason why I feel as though is that because if you give Rock both titles, then it will be unfair for Cody because he was robbed out of his WrestleMania opportunity last year. You get what I'm trying to say? So right. I feel as though if they split the titles, it will be better because then The Rock will have one and then Cody will have one.
I mean, they can't split the titles. It's already unified. It's already one belt.
Oh, yeah. Wait, they definitely did change it, didn't it?
Yeah, we got
World
Champion Seth Rollins.
Yeah, right. Oh, my goodness. I just sorry, Steph. I totally forgot about Seth Rollins. But, okay, so we got to figure out a plan. Because, like I said, it's so unfair to have The Rock come back. And then you have Cody Rhodes, who, like I said, is a hard worker, to not get his opportunity. So, I mean, like, how do you feel about that?
Well, I know there's a lot of focus on him finishing the story.
Yes.
And I know a lot of people would like for him to finish it at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have to look at pretty much the other agendas we have right now.
Okay.
And one of them is that, well, and this is all speculation. Nobody knows. Nobody's talked to Triple H. I don't know mm-hmm. Paul Levesque. But there is a feeling that they want Roman Reigns to surpass Hulk Hogan's world championship reign from way back in the day. If he loses at WrestleMania, he doesn't do that. But if he wins at WrestleMania and then maybe loses at like SummerSlam, hey, I think by like July or something, he would have beaten the record. So it'll really be up to, I guess, however Cody is sentimental on if he wants to get the championship at WrestleMania or if he just wants to get the championship. They can make just as big a moment at WrestleMania as they could, just as big of a moment at SummerSlam as they would WrestleMania if he won the championship at SummerSlam. And then if he versus The Rock, Roman Reigns versus The Rock at WrestleMania, beats him at WrestleMania. Now, Cody doesn't have that second straight L on his resume. And Roman remains champion. And we finally get that Rock versus Roman Reigns match. That pretty much this is like the end point at which that can happen. Because believe it or not, The Rock is 50. He's not going to be able to do this for a while. He's huge, which means him moving is not going to be the best because bodybuilder cardio and in-ring cardio, two different things. So give us spine buster and be gassed like we saw on day one. So you give him until March to get in the ring shape.
Okay.
Him and Roman go at it. Roman beats him. Rock probably tears his hamstring again. Roman Reigns remains champion. Cody doesn't have that L on his resume. And then Cody's like, know what? I'm tired of this. He fights up to become number one contender. However, they do the swap to get him on SmackDown, or if they do some other kind of brand magic, or they really don't care. Go to SummerSlam. Somehow everybody is barred from the ring. Now it's just Cody
and Roman.
And then there still happens to be some shenanigans, but still Cody overcomes all of it, hits him with the super, what is it called? Super crossroads off the top rope, crazy like that.
Yeah.
Wins the WWE championship. So I think you can have your cake and eat it too. It just depends on if you like the plate it's on. If you want your championship, you get on the SummerSlam plate, that's cool. But if you want on a WrestleMania plate, that's where we're going to run the issues. Which
okay.
I could tie it back to who I think would win the Royal Rumble, And instead of it being Cody Rhodes, I think it kind of should be CM Punk. And then CM Punk goes against Seth Rollins. And then either he loses to Seth Rollins, or I really want him to lose. So it's like, okay. And then I want Damian to catch up on Seth Rollins.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to what we were talking about, we just talked about Cody Rhodes. That's how I think that championship would pan out. Ideally, in my eyes, some people may disagree. Some people want to finish the story of WrestleMania. But in the end, it'll be Rock, Roman, WrestleMania. Roman goes over. And then Cody, Roman at SummerSlam. Cody goes over. Records are beat. Cody has the championship. Everyone's happy.
Okay.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. I'm not sure. So I'm not sure if they're having a SummerSlam this year. I think it's called Bash in Berlin. And it's like they're around the same time as SummerSlam. So I'm not sure if they have.
They would never get rid of the if.
Okay.
They'll rename every single pay-per-view except for Royal Rumble, SummerSlam, WrestleMania, and Survivor Series. Even though they've been trying to get rid of Survivor Series, but they're not.
You're not.
Those four will stick around for practically however long WWE sticks around.
Okay.
So I doubt that, but let me see what the date is for that. The 31st. So that will probably replace like Crown Jewelish, like head of September pay-per-view. And then SummerSlam. Let me see when SummerSlam is. That's probably like the first weekend of. Oh, they haven't announced it yet, so I guess we'll have to see. Because I think they're still trying to find the location.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I could be wrong though. You could end up being correct. I'm like, oh, well, never mind. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Like I said, I don't know what's going to happen between them. Like I said, changing the SummerSlam or I think Bash in Berlin. I'm not sure. But
right.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you with Cody Rhodes. Like, there's a lot of stuff that can happen. We can wait until SummerSlam because that's also a big pay-per-view. So we can wait until SummerSlam. We can also wait. So here's how I think the three big pay-per-views are. WrestleMania, SummerSlam. I think the new big pay-per-view is a Survivor Series.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Survivor Series. The Money in the Bank.
Not Money in the Bank.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah, Money in the Bank. The gimmick has almost run its course.
Okay.
Depending on how they book Damian Priest to cash in. But, yeah. Honestly, I don't think it deserves a whole pay-per-view. I think it should go back to being a spectacle at WrestleMania or something like that. But it's neither here nor there.
Neither here nor there. Yeah, but also, like, especially with War Games, like, I feel like War Games is better than the traditional 5-on-5 match.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I feel like that missing factor of missing the 5-on-5 traditional Survivor Series match where you have, you know, your folks fighting, and then you can get eliminated, or you can have, like, a teammate eliminate you. And I feel like that part was kind of missed after they stopped doing, when they stopped doing, because NXT had War Games at first.
Yeah.
Then they moved to the main roster. Now NXT has some new, I can't think of the name of it. They got, like, some new pay-per-view in December. Right. So that's what I think could have happened. And also, too, I want to definitely put out there, too, is how I think WWE should definitely go back to adding a December pay-per-view, because December has nothing. Like, literally has nothing. I feel like they should have an extra pay-per-view for the month of December, because you can have something interesting going into the new year. You know, like how you know they did like TLC? But if they bring that back, then that will be Table, Letters, and Chairs. If they do that, then that would be cool.
Yeah, I understand why they didn't, why they've gotten rid of it.
Because it's similar to Extreme Rules?
Yeah, it's similar to Extreme Rules. And, like, I think they were trying to get away from just gimmicked pay-per-views overall. Like, they got rid of Hell in a Cell. They got rid of TLC.
Did they? I didn't know they got rid of Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, they if you notice, I don't think there was a Hell in a Cell pay-per-view match. Well, paper, well, premium live
event. Live event, yeah, PLE, yeah.
This year. Because they were trying to get rid of, like, oh, Hell in a Cell. But if there's only, like, one or two Hell in a Cell matches, why is the whole pay-per-view called Hell in a Cell? You can give it a real name.
Real name. You know what? Not just thought about, because it's so funny you mentioned that, how last year they didn't have a Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. But you know what I think that they're trying to do? They're trying to give different names for different things. And also, not even that part, they also have, what's the name I'm trying to think about? They're also trying to switch up stuff. Because I'm not sure if you noticed, did you know that Fastlane is always right after Elimination Chamber. That's Fastlane. Yeah. Fastlane is right after Elimination Chamber. Last year, it was in not December, it was in October, I believe. September, October, around that time. Right. I remember they had the Fastlane. And I'm like, why are you having a Fastlane? And it's not even, you know, it's not even like close to WrestleMania. So right. I think when they did that, that was kind of interesting because I was not used to having, you know, a pay-per-view that's not close to WrestleMania like that. And also, like I said, there's a whole lot of stuff going on with the men's division. Who do you think can win the men's Royal Rumble? Well, you said CM Punk. I can see that too.
I see CM Punk. I can see them, I guess, since they made amends, they're like, all right, we'll give you that Royal Rumble win. Mm-hmm. You go on to the main event of WrestleMania. Now, from his grievance, it was just the main event at WrestleMania. He don't necessarily have to win, but I feel like with CM Punk, if he puts on a great match, that's all he really cares about. It's great match, it's a professional match. He wins, cool. If not, all right. Now, if he does win, that'll be pretty cool. I still think Damian Priest should come out, cash in on him.
Yeah. I think it's going to be interesting. Because then he won't be ready. Because he hasn't been in WWE for a long time. So I think now when he gets this new money and a big cash in, it's going to be like, huh? And then Damian Priest wins it. And we're like, really? So then I think if that happens, we're going to have a triple threat match with Damian Priest, Seth Rollins, and CM Punk, if that's the case.
Yeah, I can see that happening down the line.
Down the line, okay.
Yeah, like, was it Backlash?
Yeah.
Because they're like, we were both champions, we both should have our rematch clause, and it's like, alright, triple threat. It's like, but wait, and it's like, no, you're right, y'all both are former world champions on the same night, y'all both lost, y'all both have a rematch clause, y'all both get it.
Yeah, that's so true. And especially was so interesting when CM Punk came back to that Raw and he came back and Seth Rollins came out. And I was like, this story is so intriguing. Like, I know a lot of people said, like, they really had actual beef. But I was just shocked to see how interesting that whole storyline was. And just, like, having CM Punk just, like, talk his talk. And he got Drew McIntyre in the mix. And then he's, like, kind of, you have this thing where you have CM Punk in the middle of like everything. And the reason why I say that is because he just came back. He's like a breath of fresh air. He's new. He came back after 9 years of walking out. So like I said, I know a little bit. I think I mentioned it to y'all that I've been watching wrestling since 2020. So I don't know that much, but you know, when you start watching documentaries and stuff, you be knowing stuff.
Right.
But I definitely can see CM Punk definitely winning the Royal Rumble and going against Seth Rollins at WrestleMania. Now the winner, I have no idea. I have no idea.
Yeah. That could be a toss-up.
That could definitely be a toss-up. And I also feel as though, like, that was a great move with WWE part that they did not have CM Punk versus Seth Rollins at Royal Rumble. Yeah. Like, that was a good move because, what'd you call it? I'm so used to having major matches on a Survivor Series to the point where it's just like, oh, okay, right? But for them not to do it this year and they had to wait until WrestleMania, I think that's a better way to do it. And then when CM Punk said, oh, I want to go into the Royal Rumble, it was like, oh, okay. That's way better than, you know, me, you know, instead of like me watching it and expecting that match and then going to WrestleMania and be like, okay, now I can enjoy it now instead of it being on Royal Rumble, because I feel like once a match is already done, you don't want mm-hmm. to make her feel redundant.
Right.
And I feel like it's the same way, like, no shade, but it was like with like Bayley and Bianca Belair.
Right, like, yeah, they ran that back a few
Yeah, times. They ran out. God. And like, it's still yeah. going. Like, to this day, it's still going. But one thing I can say, like, that match last night was all that, though. Yeah, that match was definitely a pay-per-view-worthy match. Now, most times, and let me be honest, the women on SmackDown really, like, don't get enough time. Mm-hmm. But that match, I was so shocked. I was like, yo, like, they really did that. Like, they really did that joint on yesterday. So I'm so excited for Bayley and Bianca. But going back with the Royal Rumble. Okay, so Elijah.
Yeah.
I got excited about the Fatal 4-Way match with AJ Styles, LA Knight, Randy Orton, and Roman Reigns at the Royal Rumble. I got so excited to the point it was just crazy, because I was like, I'm sick of seeing Roman. Like, just, I'm like, first of all, I'm sick of seeing Roman with that 1-on-1 match, winning with the Bloodline. So I feel like now, after with that match last night with the handicap match with AJ Styles, LA Knight, and Randy Orton, now the Bloodline, they have to figure something out, because now Roman has to go against three people instead of one. So, okay, so I know Roman Reigns is going to retain for the Rock match. I feel like it's a definite, but at the same time, I just feel like somebody else is going to win it, and I'm not sure, because I understand what you're saying, because of, you know, having Roman Reigns surpass Hulk Hogan's title reign, which is 5 years. I can't believe it's been 5 years. That's crazy. Right. So surpassing the five year mark. How do you feel about the whole situation with the Fatal 4-Way match?
I think it's good, because it definitely evens the odds.
Yes.
So instead of you just having Roman Reigns, like you said, come out there, he has the Bloodline along his side. They usually interfere. They do some shenanigans. Roman ends up winning. Now, there's two other people. So you come in, you try to interfere on Roman's behalf. One of them is going to knock you down, and then the other one's going to dropkick you. And then they're going to go and gang up on Roman. So now it kind of leaves Roman to his own devices to navigate and figure out, how can I get over in this match? And it's going to be good, because we finally get to see we get to see Randy back at a pay-per-view match mm-hmm. in a title match, which we haven't seen in a minute since he was tag champ. Mm-hmm. And we get to see AJ back in a title match. And we get to see LA Knight, who is
a big star.
Yeah, he's up and coming. Mm-hmm. He gets to put on. So mm-hmm. I'm trying to think from my booking hat, my amateur booking hat, who mm-hmm. would take that pinfall. Because I think it's kind of like a foregone conclusion that Roman likely will win, however he does.
Yes.
So who will take this pin and have the least, I guess, damage from it? I can see it being Randy, but they might put AJ on there too.
You know what I was going to say it's not Randy. Is it between LA Knight and AJ Styles?
I don't think they'll pin LA Knight, simply because he's still up and coming. So they may not want him to take the fall. So it's like, okay, he's still plausible because he never got pinned.
Okay.
And he did get pinned at, I think, what pay-per-view? Was it Fastlane?
Mm-hmm.
So he did get pinned at Fastlane because, of course, it's a 1-on-1 match. But mm-hmm. if in this Fatal 4-Way he pretty much comes out unscathed, I think that positions him in the future better.
Mm-hmm.
For whenever it's his time to finally get a chance to be champion, whether it's US champ or it's the actual WWE champion. I can see him actually getting drafted to Raw, like in the draft, and now mm-hmm. he's in a world heavyweight championship picture. However they want to do that, but.
Okay. Yeah, yo, you just said a whole lot of good stuff there. You did. Especially like as far as what you said with LA Knight, he's definitely an up-and-coming star. And another person that I definitely can see, like, that's fastly growing, like, I mean, like, in the weeks of him just starting, I think Carmelo Hayes. And I feel as though, like, I know, like, a lot of people don't know who he is, but if you just see how he is in NXT and how popular he is in the main roster, it's like, what? You know what I'm saying? Like, he's, like, yeah, growing super fast. And it's like, you, like, I know, like, a lot of people don't know, like I know some people watch NXT, other people don't. But just seeing how he started with Kevin Owens, mm-hmm, and how good that match is, and how he's, like, rising like LA Knight, but just, like, in a couple of weeks, I think that's crazy. What do you think?
Yeah, Carmelo, he's been phenomenal from his North American championship reign, mm-hmm, to be an NXT champion. The program they have him in with Trick Williams right now,
mm-hmm,
that was phenomenal storytelling, because not only with Carmelo, he's phenomenal. Now it's propping Trick Williams to be a star as well. So now, instead of it just being, oh, Carmelo and his sidekick,
Lackey,
now it's two African American superstars out here, two black superstars. Now, when they get to the main roster, now they can actually have a place instead of getting lost in the shuffle.
Yes. And
like you said, Carmelo in ring ability is
just immaculate. It really is.
So once he gets to the main roster, once he's dancing with a lot of these guys, we saw with, mm-hmm, Kevin Owens. What is it? Even though his match with Austin Theory got stopped last night, it was still going good. Well.
It really was.
Shout out the referee and the WWE trainer. They was like, hey, y'all look great. Yeah, let's stop this. Yeah. I don't got a problem with that. But the match before then was going pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the future is his oyster, because he's great. You may look at his size and say, oh, he's only like 5'10", only like 200 pounds.
Yeah.
Lots of people have gotten over. We saw Daniel Bryan get over. We saw Rey Mysterio get over. He's way smaller than that. Lots of luchadors, Kurt Angle. So honestly, the future is going to be amazing, because Carmelo Hayes is going to be in it.
Mm-hmm. And it's so funny that you mentioned that, because one thing I love that you said about Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams, one thing I love about that storyline and those two guys is because you always, it's like for me, I'm always used to having the main person and having the person that's helping them.
Yeah.
So just to have Trick Williams have his own, like, thing, trying to be a major star, like, not trying to, but, like, trying to get up there in the ranks,
mm-hmm,
and having Carmelo Hayes, like even though at the beginning it definitely was like, okay, well, you know, Carmelo Hayes, you know, he's, like, the top, and then, like, you know, Trick was under him. Now you can kind of see how they're trying to even it out to make it, you know, like, where it's, like, it's not competition, it's that, like, they both stars. And, right, I love that, because now you have a sign, like, there are two friends that they're like, so the thing about it is, like, I know that they're going to turn on each other at one point or another,
mm-hmm,
because it always happens. But then I can't say that, because look at the Street Profits. They are still together, right, to this day. So yeah. I really don't know. But I was just going to say that just having them two just going at it and, like, having, like I said, their own matches, and they're dominating in their own matches, and, like, max skills, and just doing everything that they have to do, I just really think that it's just going great. And I really applaud Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
I applaud Shawn Michaels for making the effort not to have one person have the spotlight, to the point where it's like, you know, again, like I said, like, when it comes to a tag team, it's always like, oh, this one is better than that one, or like, that one is better than this one. Like, this is a moment I always will remember, and I know that's kind of sad, but when people were comparing Sasha Banks and Naomi, mm-hmm, and how they were saying how Sasha Banks is better than Naomi, or others were saying Naomi was better than Sasha Banks. So, like, see how, like, that, like with that one, is not really, you can't compare them because they're trying to have them on the same level. So that's one thing I love about it.
Yeah. What do you think? No, I agree that, like you said, usually they have, okay, we got big dog, then we got little dog. Mm-hmm. You're trying to make them both big dog now. Mm-hmm. And you don't always have to do that by having little dog turn on big dog.
Yes.
Or big dog do something behind little dog's back and little dog finds out. Now little dog, the underdog, has to go against big dog. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you can just have them whereas though, okay, we have a slight disagreement. Then we look eye to eye and we see, okay, we have a goal. We can still be boys. We can still both be at top level and have nobody turn on each other.
Yes. No, I thought about Gigi Dolin. I like, for real, like, I definitely know, be like, for real, look, okay, like, let me tell you something, y'all. It's crazy. Like, isn't it crazy how I'm mentioning this stuff? Because, like, I barely watch NXT and stuff like that, but I was watching it because I thought it was so interesting because Mandy Rose left WWE because of something controversial. I don't know what happened, but I know something about something that happened. But I wish I watched
it. Revenue elsewhere.
Yeah.
I don't think the way you're getting that revenue is very brand safe.
Yeah. So that's like the kind of, you know, let her go. But also at the same time, we don't know what actually happened.
Right. This is all speculation. Yeah,
all speculation. Especially, the reason why I watched the Gigi Dolin and JC Jane, when JC Jane turned on Gigi, was because of Bailey. Bailey had a show. What's that? Ding Dong Hello show. So that's why the only reason why I watched it. And when I saw JC turn on Gigi, I was like, yo, that's so wild. And how I think Gigi was her face turn was so fast. Because they both was heel. Like, they both was heel. So her face turn was so fast. I was like, what? Like, it was just crazy. Right. So I'm so glad, like I said, Gigi was always, like, the third wheel. I mean, not Gigi. Yeah. JC, I meant. JC was always the third wheel. Gigi was right under Mandy. So it was, like, I think that was a great example of big dog, little dog. That Gigi was, like, the big dog. JC was kind of a little dog. And for order for JC to be a big dog, JC had to turn on Gigi for JC to be a big dog. That's a lot that I just said.
And I think that dynamic works best when they're both heels.
Yes.
Because then you can, okay, we can be sympathetic to the one who got turned on because likely they'll be the face.
Yes.
And then, but when there's both faces, then you have one do a, I'm a big, mean, black, angry guy now.
Yeah.
Heel. Turn on my brother. It's like, all right, that's,
I don't know.
That's overplayed record.
Yeah, that was overplayed. Especially with, I thought about this. You said they both had to be heel, right? Didn't Bailey do the same thing to Sasha Banks in 2018 when Sasha took her off the top of the Elimination Chamber? And and then I think they was having it was Ember Moon. Here's the reason why I remember that match. Ember Moon did a move on Sarah Logan, and she said, boom. I was like, yo, that was crazy. She
was like, is this
yo,
a shoot?
I'm talking like that forearm with the wrist was crazy. She did that spin. That spin with the forearm was crazy. And at the end, Bailey turned on Sasha. So I thought that was just crazy. And that was kind of cute. Also, I was kind of concerned because Carmelo Hayes and what's his name? Trick Williams.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? I think Trick or somebody had attacked him or something like that.
Yeah, so Trick got attacked before his I think he had a championship match or something along those lines, or a number one contender match, and he got attacked before that. So that took him out of that match and messed up his opportunity. So it was speculation that was Carmelo, but I think it ended up being Lexus King.
Okay.
So it was kind of like a fake out, like, oh, they're going to turn on the, oh, no. It was just a bunch of coincidences that made it look like something it wasn't.
Yeah, that's so true. But at the same time, I feel as though something's going to happen. Do you know why I say that? Because I feel like on a recent episode of the WWE Bump, I feel like they was kind of, I don't know. Like, I know how they are supportive of one another. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it was something kind of off. I don't know.
I think that was just some pettiness.
Kind of off. Like, I don't know if Carmelo had something to do with the situation.
Right.
But also, Like what you doing? Like, what you doing, yo?
What you cooking over here, HBK?
Yeah.
Like, what's
going on? Yeah, especially when they had, I thought something was definitely weird because I was, like I said, I don't be watching NXT, but I do watch every now and then. But I definitely saw at the end of the show, I think, did Carmelo hit Trick by accident?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that part, and then he went, so what took me, what mind blown me was that he went to SmackDown. Why was it that? Like, you get, like everything just happened. Like, he hit Trick by accident, and then he goes back to SmackDown to get the opportunity with the fight with Kevin Owens. So I think now they're trying to put him on the main roster, and the Trick going to stay at NXT. So the Trick can be a big star, and then he's going to come up. But I it just felt weird. Like, something is definitely off about the whole situation. But I don't leave it alone. I'm not going to say nothing more about that, and we're going to keep moving forward. Okay, so like, what do you think?
Hey, listen, what you said makes sense.
Yeah,
like, it really does, and it's just trying to plot out what the timeline will be. Will it be sooner rather than later?
Yes,
and I can see him come up to main roster probably like permanently post Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess within the next few weeks, they'll either dig more into what they already have established now, or they'll just be like, all right, well, I'm going up. If you ever need help, bro, hit me up. I'll pop up real quick.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to say anything. Or it'll be like, man, you leaving me, bro. You leaving me? You just think you better than me now? I was like, no, man, I saw opportunity. And it could be like, maybe an inamicable breakup, mm-hmm. but still, like, okay, nobody turned heel on each other. Mm-hmm. It's just like, man, I lost my homie.
Yeah.
And that's, you just gotta deal with that.
You gotta deal with that. Yeah.
Oh, man, I don't got my best friend by my side.
You got your best friend no more. Yeah. And that's how I thought about, especially when it comes to, I was thinking about the new faction with Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits and their new name. I was like, no, they should get like the Hurt Prophets or something. Like their name is the Pride. I don't know makes about sense, that. Though. I know like they're prideful, but at the same time,
it's like lions, a lion pride.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, like Lion King.
Okay.
The Pride. Because like, if you reference the Hurt Business was already a faction. And okay. I think they don't want to. They value the Street Profits enough to not have them just be a Lego plug-in faction. Like, oh, we had the old Hurt Business. Now we got the new one, but with mm-hmm. different black wrestlers with us.
Okay.
We just swapped them out. And it's like, no, like, this is something different. Hurt Business something was new. What it was.
Mm-hmm.
Now Bobby Lashley's with the Street Profits. And I feel like when the Street Profits tag, it'll still be the Street Profits. It'll just be the Street Profits representing the Pride.
Okay.
And then you'll still have Bobby Lashley representing the Pride.
Yes.
So they don't lose their gimmicks. It's just now they have like an official name. They're officially in a faction. And now mm-hmm. they're finally baby faces because nobody was going to boo Bobby Lashley.
Nobody was going to boo Bobby Lashley. It's so funny you mentioned that because I thought about when you talk about the tag team, the tag team division, mm-hmm. I was thinking about the tag team titles. And I feel like they should unite that and make it one title and it can go to both brands. Because splitting the titles,
they're going to split them.
They want to split them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I think they're going to split them simply because they're trying their best to establish tag teams on both that are a tag team division on both brands, so that when they do finally split them, it makes sense.
Because
mm-hmm. they have the bodies, they have the roster for it. They just mm-hmm. have to put in the work, put in the writing to make the tag team divisions mm-hmm. genuine to make mm-hmm. them look reputable. So once mm-hmm. they do that, then it's like, okay, we can split the titles finally, or they'll mm-hmm. do what they did before, unite one titles into like the world tag team titles and then make the WWE championship, WWE tag team titles or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Same way they did with the world title. And then just have a gauntlet match or however they want to do that to determine the two contenders for the new tag team championship and do it like that at a pay-per-view, maybe Elimination Chamber or something.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that one. Like Elimination Chamber, that's going to be at the Australia?
Yeah.
Okay, so what do you think about that pay-per-view? I know we're talking about, y'all, we're talking about all these pay-per-views. We could have waited to do different episodes. But, y'all, I just got too excited. So we're going to talk about all of them. And then in the future.
A sneak peek. And then
we give you a sneak peek. We're going to talk about it. Over it. Yeah, you get me. Y'all like, why are he talking about every single thing? He's talking about the WrestleMania. He's talking about the SummerSlam. He's talking about Royal Rumble. He's talking about Elimination Chamber. But the reason why I'm doing this, y'all, because, I know y'all miss us. Like, we be missing. So, look, at least we are back. And it's so good to be back. And I'm so glad that Elijah's here with me. So, that's why we on here. We just having a whole conversation. Because, look. We miss y'all. Right. We back. So, like I said, but with Elimination Chamber, Rhea Ripley, I think that's definitely going to be a definite. Who is going to be the title contender at that point?
So for Rhea Ripley?
Yes.
That's the tough one.
Okay.
Because we've seen her basically run through most of the women on the roster that are on her brand. And you're just trying to think, who's a contender where I can see them, even if she beats them? Who can I see beating Rhea Ripley? Like, realistically. And there's not many.
The only people I could definitely see beaten is Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair.
She's out.
She's out. Bianca Belair, Bayley. I think I was gonna say Jade, but then I was like,
she too new.
Yeah, she's too new. So I don't know, cause like I feel like with Rhea Ripley's. Rhea Ripley's title reign so far, what's what I'm trying to think about? Like all her title reign, most of her title reign is so, how can I say, all her matches are so short.
Yeah, because she's so dominant.
Yes, I know that part, but I'm saying, but look at this. Look, I think Rhea Ripley versus Zoe Stark should have been a longer match. Because Zoe Stark has a lot of potential. And like her moveset is just like crazy good. People say like she's like a female version of CM Punk. So I'm not sure what that's supposed to mean, but yeah. But her the way she moves, the way her strikes are, is so like it's like she's like a Shayna Baszler, but she can do like high moves. Like, you know what I'm trying to say?
She's like, all her moves look like they got bite to it.
Yes. Like everything is sharp.
She can also do regular wrestling moves.
Yes.
So like she's stuck in that MMA.
Yeah, striking
wrestler.
Part.
Yeah. Wrestler box that Ronda was always strapped in.
Yes. It's more like, it's like a mixture between Asuka, then like Shayna Baszler, then like CM Punk. It's like all of those three in the same like category. Because Asuka, she's a striker. Yeah. Oh, I mean, she'd be kicking people out.
From that Japanese strong style.
Yeah.
That's not something you just give up.
You learn how
to hit a little bit lighter.
Yeah. So, I don't know, but Nia Jax could be one, too. I could definitely see Nia Jax being one. But at the same time, people are not really big on Nia Jax. So, I can give it a pass.
Right.
Look, everyone that's listening right now, I respect all wrestlers. Like, that's nothing that's going to change. I respect all the wrestlers from every company. I may not know all the companies yet, but all the companies, I respect all everyone that works hard and diligently. But some people, some things you got to say, some stuff, And it just don't be right, right? Yeah. Not in a bad way. It's the fact that we respect them, but sometimes, you know, like how can I say it, like
it's all
like,
speculation.
Yeah, it's all speculation. Well, so it's not definitely, because look, yeah, we don't know. That Jex could be her though. Like, yeah, I don't know.
We all just, hey, we just take what we know and make predictions.
Make a prediction. Is this like yep, it's whatever he wants. Yep. He could do whatever he wants, and it's up to y'all. It's whatever y'all think could happen. So right, if we're just giving speculation, we're giving our personal opinion. So, you know, I just like I said, like, I respect Nia Jax. So she is a dominant force in the WWE. She's a dominant force. She knows how to fight. She knows how to, like, you know, like I know Elijah here. He has a little, you know, a little like
every time she get in the ring, it looks like somebody getting hurt. Hey, listen. Like you said, she put in great work. She's a part of a family.
Yeah.
And she's earned her place in the WWE. I won't take away her hard work. But it looked like somebody about to die every time she get in the ring. I'd be like, don't do that. Maybe that's part of her allure. It's supposed to look like it hurts.
Yes. You know what?
Hey, sure.
Okay, let me be honest.
Change my perspective.
Yes, like, okay, like, let me be honest. We watched that when on the first day of the new year, on that Monday Night Raw, when Becky and I had a 1-on-1. How did you feel about that match? Because I first feel like, yes, that is what she needed. And second of all, it's like, yes, because I feel like she was bloody. So, like, that was, like, they wanted to make her dominant. I feel like she can be a dominant force, for real. Yeah. Like, she definitely can.
She can be, and she definitely needed that win, and she looked wonderful in that win.
That definitely like I said is
before,
true.
Becky was bleeding. I'm like, it looked like somebody got hurt.
Oh my god, my nose! Yeah, okay. I get it. Yep, it was a whole hot mess. But moving forward, like I said, it was just a whole lot going on there with Becky and what you call it, Nia Jackson. Stuff like that, but well, all WWE stuff, 2024 is doing good. Like the company doing good, storylines doing good. Santos Escobar and that whole faction, right. Just been. I'm just shocked that like he turned on Rey Mysterio, because I was not expecting that to happen. But right. At the same time, I feel as though like that was a good thing too, because Los Lotharios, they needed some time on the TV screen. And yeah. I feel like them having Los Lotharios was a great idea, because they never got TV time as much. Like, they had some TV time here and there, but they never got that on, like, all the time. So, for, like, having them be a new faction, I think that was a good idea by the by Triple H that, you know, decided to do that. I think that's a great plan.
Yeah.
And I also feel with what's Hit Row? I don't know what's going on with them, but I don't know what's going on with them. Ashante with Adonis, and like how he went to Nick Aldis he was saying like how he wanted the opportunity, and then Nick Aldis was saying how he has some opportunities that he would like, and we haven't seen him yet, so I was kind of side eyeing that.
Yeah, I think he'll eventually get into the United States championship picture.
Okay.
I mean, of course, Top Dollar, he's out. I think he's in TNA now.
Okay.
And then B-Fab is with, it's technically with Bobby Lashley and them.
Mm. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's about it.
Ain't no more, nothing less. Yeah.
And Swerve, of course, is doing his thing over at AEW. He's going to be a future AEW champion. That's going to be great.
Dope. Yeah.
So, honestly, it looks like everybody's winning out here, not being in the faction. So,
You know what? This is the last thing that we're going to talk about, because you know we've been talking for an hour at this point, hour 13 minutes. But like, it's so good to talk. But I just want to put this out there. I know we're going to do more episodes. We're going to talk about more pay per views in the future. Like, we kind of gave you a glimpse of like what it's like. What we talk about and how we are as people in general. But I just want to get your insights on this. And I've always, well, I say insights because I feel as though, like, it could be a hit or a miss as a question, but if there was a wrestler, multiple one, a wrestler that would come back current day, right? Current day, mm-hmm. right now, that was here in the past, that was in the company in the past, and they came back and the opportunity that they had was way better than, you know, was way better than what they was when they left.
Say that one more time for me.
Okay, I got you. So basically, with the wrestler that, let's just say if a wrestler from any company, right, mm-hmm. come back to WWE, right?
Right.
But that first run that they had, first, second, third run, how many times they ever came back, wasn't great. What wrestler would you come back, return gotcha. Under Triple H leadership?
Even though maybe this isn't my top pick, but this one comes to mind, I'm really eager to see what he would do with Zack Ryder, a.k.a. Matt Cardona.
Okay.
Cordova, mm-hmm. Because he's got the look. He's very athletic. He's very talented. And I would want to see, I guess, how far he could go given how Triple H books things. Because mm-hmm. when he was in his previous tenure, he was de facto internet champion. He was mm-hmm. over with the crowd. Everybody loved him. It was just like he was just stuck at jobber status. He was an yep. edgehead who went on his own. Him and Curt Hawkins, when they split from Edge, it was kind of like, okay, now these guys are like 70 overalls.
Yeah.
Then once he left, I think he got injured. He came mm-hmm. back. He was yoked. Shout out to WWF. He was yoked. He's put on good matches, and then mm-hmm. Was it him and Curt Hawkins that won the tag team championships mm-hmm. at WrestleMania, I think 35. Mm-hmm. And then after that, once they lost it, they kind of fell by the wayside in the catering and then got released. But I think if he got brought back, I could see him doing work in like the Intercontinental mm-hmm. championship scene. And then all I'll say is if Dolph Ziggler could get a world title reign, mm-hmm. I can definitely see him getting a world title reign, even if he's a transitional champion. I think mm-hmm. that would be – I can see him being over with the fans. I can see that championship reign, at least if you give it a few months, being something where it's like, okay, this wasn't a total waste of time. Mm-hmm. And he comes back and he looks better than he ever was. Mm-hmm. I'd give put the belt on Zack Ryder.
That's okay, Zack Ryder. Okay,
yeah.
Especially it's so funny you said talk about Dolph Ziggler because also like I realized like what was the coincidence of what you call it, Dolph Ziggler?
Oh yeah,
and Mercedes Moné and Dolph Ziggler debuted
in New Japan.
Yeah,
on the same day
at the same arena at the same event.
It's just like, oh, it just ran it back fully, just with
that was
a totally
crazy.
Different person. It's like,
totally different person. I thought that was crazy.
I like it.
Yeah, I know. As far as what I think a person that should return, I thought about the OC for a second. I feel like they should definitely get more opportunities because right now they're on the back burner. Also, you have Mia Yim. Like, she had a match last week. Okay. That match with Io Sky was really great. It was really great. It was just a little slow. A little slow. That's all I got to say. All I have to say, like, that match with Io Sky was good. I loved it, but it was just kind of slow. I feel like another person that could return under Triple H leadership, and I'm not sure if she would ever return because she came back twice. She had a TLC. Not that too. I think ACL injury. Like I think her knee gave out.
Yeah,
she came back to NXT. No, do you mm-hmm. know who I'm talking about?
You're talking about she talked about Nikita?
Nope, not her. She was tag. Okay, I'll give you a hint. She was tag team partners with Shotzi Blackheart.
Oh, you talk about Ruby?
Nope, Shotzi Blackheart. Ready? I'm gonna tell you.
Yeah, because I'm
it's Athena.
Oh my gosh, you're right. You are totally right. Oh my gosh, she's so good.
Yes,
She's
she's
so
so
good.
bad.
She deserves way better than NWA. Even though she's doing good at NWA, she
Yeah.
deserves way better. I
Yes,
told
yeah.
actually, I low key want to change my answer to her because phenomenal. I agree.
Yeah. I feel like if she ever comes back, I know she has us like she definitely mentioned to Booker T on his podcast how she had like a little ups and downs in WWE and how she was not treated the same in like with her in-ring work. So I feel as though like if she definitely returns to WWE under Triple H leadership, I feel as though she definitely would get a push and they will use her to her full potential because she is no joke. I mean, like if you've seen her match before, like the way she sells and the way her strikes are, yo, like it's crazy. Like
Yeah, her in-ring psychology is
it's
top
just
notch.
it's top notch. Like there's no other person that's like Athena. Especially I saw the match with Athena versus Swerve, and I was like, it was a intergender match, so they had a man versus a woman. And I was like, yo, like they was beating each other up too. Like it was no game. They was not playing no games with one another. But that match was really good. And like I said, her striking ability is cool. Especially like when she debuted on the main roster, it kind of went downhill. But I talked about Sarah Logan. When she hit that girl with that forearm, she spins, she said boom. Yo, that joint was clean and she was knocked out too. So I feel as though like Athena deserved so much better than what than what she had. But that was that today's episode was so great. Thank you, Elijah, so much for joining me. Do you have any last comments, any last statements, anything you want to say?
Nah, just shout out you for having me on here.
Thank you.
I'm looking forward to all the future events and podcasts, and WrestleMania is going to be in Philly. We
Yeah,
might not be there, but we'll be
we
around.
may not miss it. We may
That's like a
not
fan. Wild.
See, no, like, okay, this is gonna be the last thing before we end this podcast. Don't take it so expensive, okay? You
Man,
gotta have some money for that.
the nosebleeds. I was like, and
I was,
if you wanted to get any earlier pricing, that was out the window because
yeah,
the pre-sale was over
well,
in like
over,
an hour. I was like, hey,
yes. And I
yo.
and like I so funny because last year I signed up for the pre-order the like the sign up to get the tickets early and I never got my email. So I was robbed. I know I never got my email. I tried to see if I can get some tickets, but it's so expensive, especially when you go all the way up at the top. It's $200, but it's so much money because you still gotta pay the taxes and you gotta just like it's even
Yeah,
like
the
500.
fees,
Yeah, and it's like
all of that.
$1,000 at the bottom. Like I feel like I would definitely go to WrestleMania, but like I have to wait until I get older and I get I have to
Yeah,
wait until I
get
get
some
older.
buku money
Yeah,
to.
get so yeah, to get to go there because
Plus,
that's just wow.
I probably want to go to like if they have it in like Atlanta or like even maybe LA or something, someplace where it's warm. Because
Yeah.
Philly, we be.
It's
Yeah.
gonna be
Because sometimes it want to be 50, sometimes it want to be 30, sometimes it want to be like 35, but like late
Yeah.
March. You're like, what's
What's
it's
going
springtime
on?
right
It's
now. Yeah.
springtime. Yeah.
Overwarming messing everything up, but
That's
yeah.
everything up. Yeah, that's so
We'll
true.
get
That
there.
we're good there. Now hopefully it don't rain like it did in 2021. We're not trying to have that. We're not trying to have that. We're not gonna talk about that. But yeah, like I'm so excited that WrestleMania is coming to Philly. We definitely went to multiple events at the Wells Fargo Center. We went to a Monday Night Raw. We went to an Extreme Rules. Oh,
I at least had a ticket at
Elijah.
one point. Sheesh.
Yeah, like okay, so he had a ticket, y'all. And we were supposed to go all together. We had a ticket, and he ended up getting sick that weekend.
Yeah, I
And
got COVID. I was like, I didn't
he
even
got
feel any
that
symptoms. I just had to like just sit out. I was like, man, all right. Sent my
It was,
nephew instead.
yeah. So you were just like, man. But it was so good having your nephew, Anthony. It was so good having him.
Yeah, I figured he'd
Having him,
enjoy it. Plus, we had
he,
great seats, so it's like,
yeah.
oh, yeah.
Okay. Like, let me be honest though, right? Because you saw, I'm not sure if you watched the pay-per-view, but did you see Edge and Finn Balor?
Yeah.
Did I tell you I went to the bathroom midway? I went to the bathroom and I missed Edge and Finn Balor on the table. I'm like, and it was in the club, and it was right there where our seats were. So that was the crazy part. And I thought it was crazy. And then what else happened on that night? Was Bray Wyatt, he returned. Rest in peace to Bray Wyatt. That was crazy. With Bray Wyatt, he returned on that night too. But the funny thing about it is we kept looking for Bray Wyatt. And like we kept looking for like, you know, like looking around to see if anybody was trying to move or like something. And we just thought it was like really awkward and weird while people were like moving stuff and it was just crazy. But we saw like the human puppets and stuff. I thought that was like really weird and interesting because that was kind of creepy. But at the same time, it was kind of like cool, but it was still creepy. I don't know. I don't like creepy stuff like that. But it was just weird just seeing the like the puppets and stuff. But like I said, Bray Wyatt return, like that was a massive pop, right. And stuff like that. And you know, like I said, Extreme Rules with Seth Rollins and Riddle, like that was cool and stuff. Like a lot of stuff happened in like the last year. That was 2022. Oh my goodness, that was a whole year ago. So I'm just so glad that, you know, that we, I'm just so glad that we were able to do this podcast, y'all, because like I said, we've been wanting to do this for a minute. It was me. I was lingering. Like, life happens, y'all. Like, don't be bashing me because my life happens. But, I'm so excited and I'm so happy to be back on here. I thank you, like I said, again, Elijah, for being on here. I'm so glad that we was able, like I said, to be doing the podcast again. Even though we talked about the Royal Rumble, we talked about WrestleMania, we talked about the Bash in Berlin, we talked about Elimination Chamber, we talked about SummerSlam, we talked about all this different stuff. And hopefully we can bring you more WWE news. Most of the news that be on here is just rumors and stuff, because here's one thing I learned about rumors. Rumors sometimes can definitely be true, but at the same time, it definitely can be false. So I try to my best to keep everything legit, keep everything real. I love to give my opinion on certain things, like Raw, SmackDown. Sometimes NXT, it really depends, because NXT, I really don't, like I said, y'all, I don't watch that much, but at the same time, I still try to, like, you know, try to watch it here and there and stuff like that. But it is just like so great to just be back and just exist here, and you know, being here is great. Like I love it. Like I love podcasting. I love talking about Raw. I love talking about SmackDown. I love talking about the fantasy bookings, like the things that I would like to happen, the things I don't want to happen, and stuff like that. So, like I said, speculation is truly real, and no matter how legit a person can be online, doesn't mean that they're legit, right? I don't want to say it, like, I don't want to make it sound shady, but, like, I know, like, there's, what's it called, what's his name?
SRS, Sean Ross Sapp.
Yep, I was thinking about him, like, he be giving, like, news and stuff about how and stuff like that, like, Alex, like, super, like, let me be honest. I love looking at his Instagrams and stuff because some of that stuff be real. Like, mm-hmm. When we talk about CM Punk, and then CM Punk was like, oh, no, we're not having talks, and then he came back like crazy. But he mentioned it, and some stuff happens, other stuff don't. So, like
you,
I said.
If you got sources, you can only go by those sources.
Yeah, but that's legit.
Wrong. Hey, you tried your best.
Oops. That's all I can say, oops. But, guys, we appreciate y'all for listening to us have this long conversation. Elijah, we have to do this again. We have to talk about this. Because I really enjoy having you on here. Because, for real, when I first started, I was definitely talking to myself. And that was so weird. I'm like, ew, I don't like this. Like, I'm just standing at a screen, looking at just the screen, trying to figure out what to do. But now I'm able to talk to someone. So now that feels normal to me for some reason. But like I said, I appreciate you again. Thank you for joining. And guys, we appreciate you for listening to us. And this is a final goodbye. Happy I was gonna say Happy New Year's. I was gonna say good morning, good afternoon, good night. Wherever you are in the world, we appreciate you so much listening to us and enjoy the rest of your day. Peace out. Bye.
Ooses.